sustaining alive, sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Don't crack up at your own
so
joke.
So hopefully, Rita, you didn't hear me talking about shooting babies right before we came into this segment.
I was like, what is the segue here? I'm very lost.
It's terrible. That was a terrible one, and I'm glad that I did it now, though, in retrospect. How's it going? What's going on?
I'm happy you laughed at it.
I've got to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys?
Feeling pretty good. I mean, usually we're good. We're all in pretty good spirits at the start of our conversations, and then towards the end we realise that the world's infinitely doomed, and here we are trying our best.
Yeah. Well, you know, better to talk about these things than to put our heads in the sand and pretend they don't exist.
This is true.
Now, you go, Rita. You go. Where are we?
Yep.
What are we talking about?
So this week's problem is our loss of urban trees, and some of you may have seen recently a study was conducted by the Auckland City Council to look at just how bad this problem is, and the report that's just been released is a pretty depressing one, and I think it's been called the Great Chainsaw Massacre of Auckland. So yeah, I thought that we could have a little bit of a chat about why this is happening and how bad it is and what we can do about it. So it all kind of came about because we had some changes to the RMA, and it's something that I think a lot of people hear this word RMA and they think, and they're kind of a bit embarrassed to ask what it actually is. So I'm just going to really quickly recap what the RMA is.
Please do.
So, it is the Resource Management Act, and it is the framework that governs how we use our land, land and resources in New Zealand. And the reason that it was such a big deal is because it actually replaced and combined 59 pieces of legislation, which is quite insignificant, trying to roll those pieces of legislation into each other. And it did a really fantastic thing at the time. It embedded the concept of sustainability in our use of our land and resources, which is, you know, relatively forward thinking for, you know, it was sort of the late 80s that they were piecing this together. But because it is such a complex document, there has been a lot of pressure to make it easier and simple over the years, especially from developers and, you know, mining companies and all the people that use our resources. And that, you know, that pressure is pretty significant. But I guess, you know, what we have to remember is that, like I say, it was 59 pieces of legislation. So that stuff is always going to be complicated, and trying to simplify it is really like trying to fit, you know, a square into a round hole.
Right.
Yeah, so it is always going to be, and we just have to accept that, you know, when you're trying to do stuff with land and resources and long-term planning, that, you know, there's delays and there's complications.
But also there's trees in the way kind of thing.
Yeah, well, exactly, and actually here's a solution, let's cut down the tree. So that's kind of where things fall. And I think that's exactly what's happened. You know, the economic pressures from developers have seen multiple changes to the RMA, and in 2009 an amendment was made which took away blanket protection from trees. So basically what they said is that no one, not even the Auckland Council, not even the Wellington Council, not even DOC really could say, you know, here's protection on this whole group of trees in this area.
Because I'm kind of remembering back to that kauri tree that got that old mate, Michael Travis. Is that Travis? How do you say his name? Anyway, he like abseiled up the tree and like stayed up the tree and all that. Do you remember when that went down? That was quite gnarly.
And there's actually been plenty more.
And that was on
those.
Private property, right? And so, but it was a kauri tree.
But
long story short, they cut the tree down.
Yeah, they just ring-barked it, and then that's the end
of it. Yeah, I mean, the good news is that tree is...
And do they have a mint deck out there now, or what did they end up putting over there?
The good news is that, from what I last know of it, the court put an injunction on that, and the local community got together with iwi, and they actually did an indigenous healing process for the tree, and it's actually still alive.
Is it?
So that's really good news. And I'm not exactly sure where that sits with the courts at the moment, but it was actually in an area of Auckland that is protected under what's called the Waitakere Heritage Act.
I'm just sort of thinking in general, you know, when someone buys a property and there's trees on it and they want to cut them down, it seems that it's kind of just Pūtikawa, or, you know, like other than that, you can pretty much go people seem to go ham on cutting trees down.
Yeah, so unless you're in a what's called a significant ecological area,
okay,
there is zero protection for any urban trees. So that's basically what it comes down
so
to.
So we're just kind of hoping that people are like, we'll plant trees because the trees are nice, but...
Yeah, or even more so, we're hoping that they don't cut down the trees that are there. Because we have to remember, like, a pahutukawa that is, you know, any significant size is at least 80 to 100 years old. So it's great that you can plant it, but it's not going to be of any decent size for, you know, doing anything of significance for a long time.
Right.
And at the moment now, if you want to protect a tree, so say you're in Mount Albert and you've got a beautiful pahutukawa on your street, and you really want to protect that, you can nominate the tree to the council, and then the owner has to approve that nomination for it to become what's called a scheduled tree. And last I checked, I think there were about 800 of these scheduled trees in Auckland. So technically every single tree in Auckland can be cut down bar these 800 trees.
Wow, so, that's insane.
Pretty insane. So the Urban Tree Council, or the Tree Council of Auckland, I think, they came out and they said that they estimated about one third of trees have come down since this amendment in Auckland.
Someone, we've got a texter coming in saying, good old John Key, eh? That chap just keeps on screwing us all. I may have changed the word chap.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd love to see some of the conflicts of interest and how much lobbying money came from urban developers
on this.
That's
the dark rabbit hole to go down, isn't it?
It is.
We're actually getting a phone call at the moment as well. If you do want to say something, just text us through to 5395 because Rita is on the phone right now. So you understand we'd have to hang up on Rita and we're not going to do that.
So some of the outcomes, so the Auckland Council picked up on this and they decided to do their own study on it. And what they've found is that, almost 13,000 trees over the size of 3 metres tall have been cut down. And to put that into perspective, it's 61 hectares. And if you don't know what a hectare is, it's 61 rugby fields.
I just think that one third statistic is just, that's epic. You're talking about the span of like, what, a year, 2 years? Or how long have they been?
No, it's been in place since 2012.
It definitely takes longer than like 5 years for those trees to get over 3 metres, fair say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what people have got to realise about native trees. And something that I do relatively frequently when I'm in an urban area or a friend's house is I look around in the skyline, look around and see if you can spot what tall trees can you spot, canopy trees over like 5 metres. And the only ones you can ever see are Norfolk pines, which aren't native.
Yeah. I don't think people really appreciate the fact that that does take a lot of time for a tree to grow. I mean, in this world of everyone has the latest thing and they all have it now and they have it very easily, very quickly, I don't think really people give that much too much thought. It's fucking silly.
No, exactly.
Rita, are there any government initiatives to perhaps replant some of these trees in areas close to the city where they're getting cut out?
Rooftop gardens with maybe about...
I mean, rooftop gardens are definitely a big deal in mega cities and vertical gardens in mega cities. I think, our mayor has got a million trees policy, so he wants to plant a million trees in public space.
Who plants those trees? Sort of community service people? Or?
Yeah, and also like schools and, you know, whenever they're putting in a new kind of street layout, they'll plant trees and that kind of thing, along riverbanks and along estuaries and that kind of thing. So there is a little bit, but I guess you can't actually take back, you know, the role of a tree, so one tree stops 75% of rainfall. So it intercepts it. So whether it does it with its leaves or with its roots, and so 75%. So you cut down a tree, a big tree, and all of a sudden you're getting 75% more water running off your land.
Yeah.
So you think about not just the habitat for birds, but it's also in invertebrates, but it's the erosion control, the flood control, the wind control, the noise pollution, air pollution that they do. Now, a seedling, you know, tree of half a metre or a metre, or even if you get one that's a metre and a half, I mean, it's going to be decades before that can replace the job it was doing.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to have this huge cost to us now, upgrading our stormwater systems, you know, fixing erosion.
Is it a case of maybe there's, you know, like a lot of it's just like, well, that tree's in the way, we need to put a building there for people to live in, but we're not displacing, like, could we be like moving the trees rather than just cutting them down?
Yeah, well, interestingly, what the study has shown is that actually more than less than half of the trees that were cut down were actually for housing developments or any kind of development. The rest of them, so more than half, had no obvious reason for them being cut down.
Apparently, yeah. Actually, we just got a text here saying, I've got three pretty massive willow trees that are on the outsides of my fence line. They get bombarded by wasps in the summer and block heaps of sunlight. I asked what the council what they can do about them, and they apparently won't grant consent to cut down any healthy tree.
But it sounds like it's not in this person's property. So if you want a tree cut down that's not on your property, then yes, you need to go and talk to council about whose it is and blah, 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 blah. And the council could then force somebody through a consent process to cut it down. Mm. I think that, did you say it was a willow tree? They do have significant problems.
The thing is, though, with the council, can't people just, like, cut down trees? And then if no one says anything, no one says anything. But if the council says something, then what do they have to do? Do they have to plant it for two more trees, like a hydra situation?
No.
To
replace No, so let's just say that willow tree was on this person's property. Okay. They could just cut it down without getting the council involved.
Yeah, but what if it's not and they cut it down? Then what kind of trouble do they get into?
Well, you know, not a lot. You tend to get a slap on the wrist.
Right.
So, I live in a significant ecological area, so you actually can't cut down trees over 3 metres in certain parts of the property I live on.
And my neighbours,
not my direct neighbours, but some neighbours have, you know, further down the line have cut down trees, and I've complained to council and they've literally got, they just moved to the area, they didn't know they were in this area.
Yeah, it's bullshit, eh?
And it's like, they've cut down a 100-year-old tree. It's
why are you living in that area?
Yeah. It's, hey, Rita,
I know.
Rita, that last point actually kind of raises something that we should all probably think about, which is tree maintenance.
Like getting
an arborist onto your property every once in a while, which is something that I know that we should have done. When there was that big wind event in Auckland back in like April, we lost three trees.
The great April winds, I think.
They fell over on our property, and it just got me thinking, hey, you know what? I probably should have kept those trees in better nick as a responsible tree owner.
It's definitely something that, you know, my solution to this would be that we actually treat our urban trees as an asset to the country. And if you've got certain trees on your property that are a certain size, that you should be getting some sort of rates relief or at least access to a council arborist.
Do you think maybe any tree that we want to save, we should maybe put a rope swing off it or a treehouse, and then they won't get cut down at all because they look like
this? The tree council are really keen to actually put little plaques on ones that are scheduled, because we've had a few cases recently with scheduled trees. So those are the ones that somebody's actually nominated to protect, and then they've had the owner of the house agree to it, which is quite a process to go through.
Mm.
And then what's happened is someone's come along and cut it down because they've been a road worker and they've got the lines of the property wrong, or you know, the neighbours cut them down thinking they were on their property. So there has been a few cases of that recently. So what the tree council want to do is actually put plaques on those scheduled trees so that they are really, really, you know,
Just give the chainsaw to someone that can read directions, eh? That's probably safe. So.
there's that. And that's a really good point as well, just to mention to your to the listeners, that if you do have a tree that you really want to cut down because it is doing something that it's a real problem for you, it is completely free to check with the council if you can cut it down.
Yeah.
It doesn't cause a drama, and it makes sure that you're cutting down a tree that's on your property, or perhaps that you know they might come and have a look at it and go, you know, have you thought about the fact that this tree is holding up, you know, some of your land?
Well, some of my favourite tree situations are when like someone's built a deck around the tree. It's fucking cool. I'm so into it. I'm like just trying to integrate into the vibe, you know.
Yeah,
like,
there's actually a restaurant in Tauranga, and they had a kauri growing very close to it through the deck and then up into the roof, and they cut it down, and I thought, you know, people travel miles. We went to a beautiful place in Nicaragua with a sabre tree through it, and it was a tourist destination. It was the only reason people went to that town.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, we're missing a beat here, that we're the only ones in the world with kauri trees, with Nikos, with, you know, so why are we not like seeing them as an asset to our, you know, to our city, and accounting them in our, you know, in our financial records? Because I mean, you know, some people would hate to see trees as just a monetary value, but if we don't,
well, they are. If you think about our tourism and what we claim to be, you know.
Absolutely. And all these other things like erosion control. And, you know, if the tree wasn't there, then we'd be spending money to do it in a man-made way. Mm. So to do these services that these trees are doing. So we absolutely need to start thinking about the money they're saving us by having them there. Instead of, you know, what I hear is, I've had people tell me that they've cut down protocols because they've dropped red bits on their cars. I know. I'm like, come on, like for 2 weeks of the year? Like, is that really?
That's our Christmas tree. That's our Christmas tree that we've got that we like.
I know. Yeah, so a few things that we can do. So we've talked about it a couple, but if you own a property, schedule your trees. If you've got a tree on your property that you absolutely love, I would highly recommend getting it scheduled because you will sell the house and somebody will come along and chop it down.
Right on. And also, if you are a landowner, just remember that one third has been fucking nailed out in the past 5 years or so, which is just crazy.
Totally.
That's the craziest stat.
Totally. And just think about all the things that tree, I'm sure there might be some pain in the arse. You might have to get your rake out on the weekend because it drops leaves. But think about the services that it's providing that if you get rid of. Remember, you've got 70% more water coming onto your property if you chop down a tree. So, you know, you will get flooding, you will get erosion, especially if you have a big tree on your property. And, of course, plant. Feel free to plant. And when you're planting, just think about the long term. Don't put a huge tree right next to your house that's going to grow up into your gutters or underneath a power line or something. And try and plant trees that are going to be great for the natives. So the ones, I mean, Piriti's are great, but they are quite big trees. Kowhai's, you can get, you know, they're very slow growers.
What are your thoughts on monkey apple trees? Like the great projectiles, you can't really eat them.
No, you don't. No, they're actually weed. They're actually a noxious weed. So.
Okay.
Nikos are also really good. They're really skinny, so, you know, they're really good for, you know, they don't take up too much space, and they also feed the native birds. Also, write to your MP, especially if you have a local national MP, because they're the ones pushing for this. And just tell them that you really want to reinstate the blanket protection for urban trees, that you value trees and you think that they've...
But
you know,
write an email. Don't send a letter. That would be a little bit...
You could do both. I love
it. It'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? Complaining about getting trees cut down.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Very good point. Just do it on recycled paper, please.
Yeah.
And the other one that I think is a really big deal is record losses. So if you see a tree in your area that's come down, there is actually, the Tree Council have an app called EcoTrack, and I'll put this up on the Facebook page afterwards.
95BFM Drive with Johnny Big Hungry, that Facebook page.
That one,
yep,
that's the one. And that allows you to track losses. So if you see a tree come down, you can record it, and then that way they're collecting the data. And take photos, even of the ones that haven't come down. If you like a tree in your area, take a photo, post it to your local community. We should start being proud of the trees that we love in our area, and people will then start valuing them. That's it. I mean, like, the other one I do is, you know, if I'm standing at someone's house, I just have a look around, look at the big trees. What trees are around? Can you see any trees that are over 10 metres, you know? If you've got...
Not
you've
around
got
my house.
Not, a,
not
yeah.
in Grafton. Not really.
Not in Grafton. Yeah. They do, like, statues of trees, you know?
Oh,
it's
so
fucking bizarre,
right? Now you're really bumming John out right at the end, I think, with that comment of statues of trees.
Oh, dear. Yeah. And make a note, like, if you're at a friend's house and they've got cool trees, tell them, you know? They should be proud of it. We should need to be more proud of our trees, I
think. Tree proud. Got it.
Tree proud.
Got it. Hey, Rita, thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you maybe next week.
Next week.
Easy peasy.
I'll see you then. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.